They will say, oh, we'll say.
Yeah, you make them from scratch.
Right? Yeah,
good luck. Good luck with that with my wife. You get through me, not my wife. Okay. Okay. The Gemara says in Shabbos, if you have a Gemara in Shabbos, great. Try to follow some of the Gemaras. If not, there are one lines here, one lines there, famous lines. The Gemara says, one daf, chaf, aleph, amud beis, mitzvah Chanukah, ner ishu beiso. So the unit that performs the mitzvah is a family unit, and the family unit, of course, typically lives in a home. So the mitzvah is centered upon the home and the family unit that lights in the home. The Gemara in daf chaf beis amud beis, actually chaf beis amud aleph, gets a little bit more home-oriented. Two dots, seven lines down. Amar Rabba ner Chanukah, mitzvah lehanicha betefach hasmucha lepesach. So it's not only a mitzvah that the family performs, but it's a mitzvah that you put right near the tefach hasamuch lepesach. You put it right near the door, or as the Gemara says, chafala from the base, tana rabbanon ner mitzvah, mitzvah lehanicha al pesach beiso mibachutz. So we have one Gemara that says who performs the mitzvah, Ner Ishu Beiso, or at least the baseline mitzvah before we get to Mahadrin, Mid Mahadrin. And then two Gemaras that talk about the positioning of the menorah. That not only does the family perform it, and Barak, you could have inferred, oh, if the family performs it, you do it in the house. The Gemara says explicit, you put it on the door. Mitzvah lanicha al pesach beisa mibachutz, chaf aleph from beis, chaf beis min aleph. Mitzvah lanicha betefach hasamach lepesach, slight differences. So this is a mitzvah where you perform when you have a house. And if you don't have a house, you don't perform it, right? Like, which two mitzvahs are you pater from if you don't have a house? And makkah. Mezuzah and makkah. If you don't have a house, you're not chayiv in makkah, you're not chayiv in mezuzah. If you don't have a house, you're not chayiv in chanukah. Which Gemara reinforces that notion that you have a house, you're chayiv, you don't have a house, you may not be chayiv? Okay, that's what we just read. Which other Gemara sounds like, oh, what if you don't have a house, you not really can't really perform the mitzvah, because the mitzvah like, what? Achsenai. So the Gemara says, on daf, let's move a little further, on daf chav gimel and aleph. The Gemara wants to know, Amar if sheishas, achsenai chayiv b'ner Chanukah. Why should an achsenai not be? If you're a guest, you shouldn't be chayiv b'ner Chanukah? Like, what, you're not chayiv in tefillin if you're a guest? You're not chayiv in benching if you're a guest? I'm a guest, I'm not going to bench. Good meal. Why is the Gemara going out of its way to tell us that an achsenai is chayiv in Er Chanukah? Of course you're chayiv. It's a mitzvah. So what does the Ran say, that little piece that's not digitized? Why would you think, what's the Havamina? It's like mezuzah. We just said it's like mezuzah makkah. So if you're not in your house, how can you be mekayim the mitzvah? And that's a double-edged question, which we're not going to delve into today. A, maybe you're pater in the mitzvah. And even if you're chayiv in the mitzvah, how can you perform it if it's not your house? Maybe you say you're chayiv in the mitzvah because you're still living under a roof, but since it's not your house, maybe you can't perform the mitzvah. So you may be putter for the mitzvah like makkah. If you don't have a house, so you spend your whole life being a guest in someone's house, you're not chayiv in makkah. Spend your whole life being a guest in someone's house, you're chayiv in mezuzah. Maybe you're putter in Ner Chanukah, if you're an achsenai that night. Even if you're chayiv, how should you fulfill it, which is the continuation of the Gemara. The Gemara then says, by the way, Amrib Zer Meresh ki have a beirav mishtatitna bepriti bahadur shpisa. When we used to be guests in Rav, we used to give money. What do you mean? Light your own menorah. It sounds like not just that the house is a precondition for being chayiv, but if you don't have a house, you can't even fulfill the mitzvah, which is why when they were hosted by Rav, they gave money rather than lighting their own menorah. Stop. Very important. When you're a guest over Chanukah, this is the way you should be knowing to be yotze all the days, because it sounds in the Gemara that you shouldn't be lighting your own ner Chanukah when you're a guest in someone's house, not in your parents' house, but when you're a guest in someone's house, you shouldn't be lighting ner Chanukah. You should be giving money to your hosts and joining in their Ner Chanukah. Now, what role the money plays? Is it because you're joining in the Ner Chanukah, or maybe you're renting out part of the house and then it becomes your house for the night? But just showing up in your friend's home, your aunt's home, or your parents' friend's home and lighting Ner Chanukah seems to go against the Gemara. So there's a lot of discussion here, which we're not going to talk about today. The best way to be yotze all the deos is to give them a shekel, say I'm being mishtatef. If you want a light, which you should like to be yotze kol hadeos, you bring your own candles and you listen to their bracha. You ask them to be motzi you, you answer amen, and then you light right afterwards. Because if you're not chayiv to light your own candles and make your own bracha, it may be a bracha levatala. So the best way to manage the situation, again, is to both cover both ends, both give a shekel and say I'm being mishtatef in your Ner Chanukah. I also want a light, so I'm covering both ends, but in order to be machver, I don't want to say a bracha, I may be pater from, so I'll listen to their bracha, say amen, in life. Okay, that's in terms of being a guest in people's homes. Okay? This is all introduction. Summarize the introduction. It's a mitzvah in the house. You perform it if you have a house. Sounds like if you don't have a house, even for a night, you may be putter. And even if you're chayiv, you don't really perform by lighting it. So given all this background information, the minhag, it doesn't appear in Shas, but the minhag to light in shul seems a bit odd. No one lives in shul. It's no one's house. It's no one's house. Why should you light? You want to do any mitzvahs in shul? You can learn in shul. You can take a lulav in shul. You can eat matzah in shul. You can, whatever mitzvah you want to do in shul, you can, because the other mitzvahs are not structure specific. Shul is patur from a mezuzah. We're knowing to put a mezuzah on a shul. Shul is patur from a makkah. We're knowing that, obviously, if no one's going to walk on the roof. So if Hanukkah is similar to makkah and mezuzah, yeah, okay. Always a first guy. If Hanukkah is like mezuzah and makkah, then why should you be chayiv in a shul? That's today's question. And of course, the presumption of today's question, there's a lot of interesting tidbits, guys. Listen carefully to the shir, a lot of really important. The presumption is that minhagim don't just start erroneously. Whenever there's a minhag, we have to trace the halachic reasons for the minhag. Rabbi Soloveitchik was very, very adamant about that. Every minhag had a halachic source. And the Rav would look very, very deeply for the halachic source. So here you see, we've shown him that they're with it already, but there's minhag of lighting in shul. And of course, it's not just a minhag to light in shul. How do you know it's not just a minhag? Okay, it's a nice thing, Rabbi Tari, light in shul, just light a menorah. Make a bracha. I make brachas. What do I make brachas? Guys asked me this week, should I make a bracha here? I forget who. A couple guys asked me last week. I forget why they want to make a bracha for this and a bracha going. Our minhag is we try to reduce our brachas. We don't go around making extra brachas. We don't like to say Hashem's name in vain. So whenever there's a suffix bracha, so you don't make a bracha. You have a suffix bracha. Yeah, certainly, Durabanan, Sarkavan, Lakula, the two brachas that are deraisa, just remind us, the two only two brachas that are deraisa are benching in Bechzatara, so they're your machmir. But in general, you know, oh, I found the shita and this sefer to make a bracha. We don't like to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Shalomatala. So you make a bracha in shul, and the guy goes home and lights at home. So it must be some other mitzvah. So that's what we're going to discuss today. But before we discuss it, just out of interest, because a lot of people. Because Hanukkah doesn't appear in Tanakh, we don't really have the story of Hanukkah, which is why, by the way, the Gemara says, my Hanukkah. Famous Gemara, my Hanukkah, because we don't really know what happened without Chazal telling us. The Gemara would never say, my Purim, just look at Megillah's Esther. Open up Megillah's Esther and read the story. Hanukkah isn't chronicled in Tanakh, so the Gemara says, my Hanukkah. The Rav said this. The Rambam starts with the story of Hanukkah, which he doesn't have to, by Purim. So it's interesting that the mitzvah was actually associated with the house. And now taking a few steps back, we'll move forward in a few minutes. When Chazal made the mitzvah, why did they make this mitzvah a mitzvah of the house slash door, similar to mezuzah, and it's a little similar to makkah. Makkah is the roof, mezuzah is the door. This is much closer to mezuzah than it is to makkah. Why did they make it? So there's a lot of nice ideas to speak about, and I'll share them with you as well. But there's a fascinating medrash. That one of the gezeros that the Greeks decreed against the Jews, because there's a whole series of gezeros, I talked about it this morning in the shiur, gezer gezeros, is you are not allowed to put a door on your home. Now, homes have to be completely empty, and I think this is partially a way of limiting sexual activity and limiting procreation. They hope that they would slowly starve out the Jewish population, because you couldn't conduct normal family life. And for 3 years, you had to live without a door in your house. Then all of a sudden, when that decree was removed as part of the Hanukkah miracle, you could actually close your house. So they put it right near the door because that's where part of the miracle happened. It's really just a fascinating. And the Medrash says, the reason that Gzerah happened, they had Ruach HaKodesh, the reason the Gzerah happened was for some reason, in the middle of the first Beis HaMikdash, they were a little bit lax in the mitzvah of mezuzah. Really interesting. Nothing. We don't see this in Tanakh, but this is a Medrash on Hanukkah, which is why the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Beizim and Aleph, the Gemara in Shabbos says that you should put it, whereas a discussion, Amar Rabba, Ner Chanukah Mitzvah, Neach Petefach, Hasmuch HaLepesach, Heichem Manach, so Hilchasa Mismal, why do you put the menorah on the left? Why? Because what's on the right? Mezuzah. Kedei Shiyah, Chanukah Mismal, Mezuzah Mimin. So there's an attempt to tether Ner Chanukah to the mezuzah because we were punished because of our laxity in mezuzah. And then the recovery through the mitzvah of Hanukkah, we're able to once again put doors in our homes. This is something a lot of people don't talk about because you have to know the medrash about Hanukkah. Okay? But anyway, this is our question today. Our question today is, how can we make a hadlakas near Hanukkah and Beis HaKnesses, and we actually make a bracha? So here, we're going to meet someone we haven't met this year yet, very interesting Rishon, who excuse me for saying it, blows the door open on this conversation. Who am I referring to? Sefer HaManik. Right, very good. Sefer HaManik. Who wrote the Sefer HaManik? Okay, Rabbeinu Avram Bar Nasan. Not the famous Rabbeinu Avram Bar Nasan, who was the father-in-law of the grandfather of the Rav. Yeah, this is a different. He was called the Ravan Hayarchi. When was he born? He lived in France in the mid-12th century. And he learned with, who is his Rebbe? Nope. Good point. If you lived in Provence in the 12th century, you probably would have met the Rebbe. No. He actually learned with the Tosfos Ri HaZaken, who we know from our discussions in Bava Metzia. We've seen the Tosfos Ri HaZaken. Tosfos Ri HaZaken was who? Yitzchak. Okay, Yitzchak, who was? Okay, let's see if we can trace. He belonged to a very illustrious French family. Rashi's grandson. His mother. Rashi's great grandson. His mother was Miriam. Miriam had a lot of really interesting brothers. One of her brothers was named Shmuel. Rashbam. Another brother was named Yaakov. Vinatam. Another brother was named Yitzchak. Right? Miriam's the Rivam, Ben Yitzchak Bar Mordechai. Their father was Mordechai, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Meir, who married, come on, we're getting close, Parshas Vayigash, Rashi's daughter, who had all these great sons and a great daughter, Yocheved Bas Rashi. So Rashi had Yocheved married Meir and Yocheved had Yitzchak Yaakov, who was named Shmuel, and a daughter named Miriam. Miriam had a son named Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the Ri HaZaken, one of the oldest Balei HaTosfos. I mean, he was of that generation. Tosfos Ri HaZaken, the older Ben Yitzchak, not to be confused with the younger Rabbeinu Yitzchak, the Ri, the simple Ri in Tosfos. So Rabbeinu Yitzchak HaZaken, he was the Rebbe of the Sefer HaManik. And he was called Rabbeinu Reuven HaYarchi. Why was he called Rabbeinu Reuven HaYarchi? Right, because he was born in Luniel. And Lunil is French for, even if you don't speak French, Lunil is French for the moon, right? We all know the moon, right? So French for the moon. So he's called Rabbeinu Reuven Hayarchi because they didn't have last names, so he came from the town of Lunil. So they called him Rabbeinu Reuven Hayarchi. Interestingly enough, you start to see the appearance of Minhagim. He talks a lot about Minhagim, and interest in Minhagim based Ekneses. So in Ashkenaz, a lot of discussion in Minhagim, and he asks the question, Yerali, the ain't chiyuv of based Ekneses, la dagnei shulchan, it's no chiyuv. Kima Baisha Darbo, just like Mezuzah. Ella, two lines in the bottom. Nagukach. And here he gives two reasons. And we're going to break apart each of these two reasons. Reason number one, Sharnes Bab and Mikdash Beis Olamim. Because after all, the miracle didn't appear in Shushan, didn't occur in Tina, it occurred in the Beis HaMikdash. And we want to try to capture that aspect. Now, what's the closest we have to a Beis HaMikdash? What's the Mikdash Ma? What do we call it? We call it Beis HaKnesses. Anyone know, by the way, who is the most extreme Shita, right? We know it's based on the Pasuk in Yecheskel, which Hashem promises Am Yisrael that I will be a Mikdash Me'at, and a Mikdash Me'at is a reference to a Beis HaKnesses. Okay? What was, aside from B'nai Yeshurun, what was the Beis HaKnesses that most captured the Beis HaMikdash? Anyone know the famous Beis HaKnesses? What? No. It's definitely not America. I know, but something a little bit more based on Mikdash, authentic. The Shaf V'Yarsi. Right? There was a basic Knesset where? You know, Hillary?
Shiloh?
No. I mean, Shiloh was destroyed. I mean, they came back to Shiloh. It was in Naharda. So evidently, after the second Mason, it's the first Mason Mikdash, they took stones, and there were Jews that went to Babel, and they built a shul in the Harda, and we actually have records of late going in the 9th century, who davened in the shul in the Harda. So if you're ever in Naharda, and Naharda was ransacked a lot, look up the shul, shafin, go daven in Naharda, find out the times in Naharda, when they're davening. It's probably Iran, so it's probably not a good idea to go to Mordechai and get a selfie from Mordechai and Mishmar. You'd be the one. Don't think. Yeah, Rabbi Tarrigan sent me. Yeah, please. Don't pin it on me. Okay, so Shafi Yarsi and Ardaf. But which Rishon really felt that a Beis HaKnesses, Al Pi Halacha, has a status of a shul? And this led to a really interesting set of conversations in Achronim. Which were you shown?
Rambam.
The Rambam. What halacha? Interesting halacha. The Rambam says you're not allowed to dismantle a shul, just like you're not allowed to dismantle a Beis HaMikdash. Where does the issur of dismantling a Beis HaMikdash come from? Which pasuk? Lo tasun kein l'Hashem elokechem. Beit Abdun is called Mekamos al kriya she'av v'shem agoyim al harim agvoyim tachas kalitz ra'anan lo tasun kein l'Hashem elokechem. So you're not allowed to take a stone. Minayi l'notates even me'mzbeach she'over b'lot tasei she'nemar lo tasun kein l'Hashem elokechem. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot, not in the Ed Chazaka, paskins is an isser to take away stones from a shul, which means a lot of interesting questions when you come to, you know, breaking down a shul and rebuilding, remodeling a shul, but it leads to a lot of secondary conversations about what's mutter, what's asa for shul. For example, when you build a shul, are you allowed to have trees in the yard? Why not? You're not allowed to put any trees near the mizbech. So if the shul has the status of a Beis HaMikdash, are you allowed to landscape a shul? Really interesting questions. You know, cheat sheet, you're allowed to, because it's not really the shul, it's the campus of the shul. But some very interesting questions that come up from whether a shul is supposed to have a status of a Beis HaMikdash, the Shitas HaRambam serves as the beacon. Okay, so let's just repeat what the Ma'anik says. The Ma'anik says, we're trying to light in the Beis HaMikdash, because that's where the miracle happened. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Closest we can is to light in shul. That's why we light in shul. And we make a bracha. Listen to what I'm saying. There's an element of the mitzvah you can only fulfill in shul. You can't fulfill it at home. Yes, Mordechai.
The rechova, consider the rechova.
The rechova shalir.
No, the rechova. Yeah, the rechova shalir. But the rishon l'mon, that's just the quarter of the shul itself.
Yeah, correct. Okay, correct. Little daf yomi. Little daf yomi. Little daf yomi. Rechova shalir. Okay. If you compare it, right, the Chavar Shalir is Tanis and Megillah. Tanis, it's a steer between Tanis and Megillah. Okay, no, let's go weiter. Okay, we're going to see three or four other Rishonim who in spirit agreed with the Ravan, with Ben Yuvan or Yach, right? That's what we do in Lamnas. And I don't say the same thing, but they're all hitting the same logical point, that lighting, menorah, is trying to commemorate lighting the Beis HaMikdash. Which Rishon says this clearly and glaringly and powerfully and chiddushy? Not the Ramban, but? Not the Ravid, but? Balamor. Balamor. Okay, if you ever learned Bama Madlikin, okay, Ari, you told me you're moving over to Bama Madlikin now in school, right? You're learning Shabbos, so you're learning Bama Madlikin. There's a big, big tumult, there's a big hullabaloo. Why is Ner Chanukah Asur Bahana? Where does it come from? The Gemara says, on daf chaf aleph from the days, asur lishtamesh bo, you can't get enough from the Ner Chanukah. And Rabbi Yehuda, on daf chaf beis updates it, you're not allowed even to count money. Asur lahartzos maos kineged Ner Chanukah. And this isser of using the Ner Chanukah is the source of what? Of the
Shamash,
that's right, Shamash. Whatever light you're going to get is from the Shamash, not from the other candles, by the minute of the Shamash. Why should it be asur? So just to give you a little bit of a taste of how the Rishonim were trying to deal with this, let's see the Ramban. This is not the sheet that we're looking at today. We're going to look at the Balamor, more, but just to give a little bit of background. This is a famous Jago. I think I actually learned this from very old. I'm going to give like a Chabura. He's an older guy in the base matter, so he gave a Chabura and why. Remember like him discussing this Ramban. V'damrinan asr lishtamesh be'ora kol tashmishin b'mashma. You can't use Ner Chanukah for anything. Bein b'mitzvah, bein suda Shabbos, bein drashas, you want to come here shir, you can't have shir in front of the Ner Chanukah, nothing. And he says, why? Bein onira, v'im tamar b'suda Shabbos, line number 5, my bisu mitzvah ika, da mitzvah, you're using Ner Chanukah for learning Torah. Well, la milsi, d'chol sh'adam mishtamesh b'mitzvah zu l'acheres bisu mitzvah. You could be mevaza mitzvah by stepping on. Interesting. Anyone see the case in the Gemara and Shabbos? What's the bizu mitzvah? What's the test case of bizu mitzvah? Or kisei adam, where you perform kisei adam with your foot on the dirt, which is a very strange form of bizu mitzvah. If I said bizu mitzvah, you'd think using the shofar for a cup, or using the lulav for a broom, or using the matzah for a frisbee. Frisbee. that'd be real bizu mitzvah. But when you're using a dam and dirt. Okay, that's the Gemara. You're not allowed to kick the dirt onto the dam with your foot. But there's a concept called Bizu Mitzvah. By the way, just to give us some background information, what is Taun Geniza? Not a Tashmish HaMitzvah, a mitzvah, but a... What do you have to bury? Tashmish HaKedusha. Tashmish HaKedusha Nignazim, Tashmish HaMitzvah Nizrakim. After the mitzvah, you can throw them out. What's a Tashmish HaKedusha?
So a Tashmish HaKedusha is...
Three things. Just tell me three things.
Okay.
Drilling?
Drilling. Mrs.
Also, if you look at the Rav Schechter writes, also everything with Shem Hashem.
Right, Shem Hashem wouldn't based on the Rambam, because the Rambam says in Perek, Hey of so the Atara, that even Shem Hashem has a status of Hashar Kinev, Kisvei HaKodesh. So even the Shem Hashem needs Genisa. So even the Shem Hashem, like Stam or Shem Hashem on a piece of parchment, needs Genisa. But Tashmishay Mitzvah no Kedusha, because they don't have Shem HaKodesh Baruch Hu. There's no Kedusha to Matzah. There's no Kedusha to a shofar. There's no Kedusha to Lulav. I remember Rav Lichtenstein was teaching us Isha Halacha. It was fascinating about when Rav Aaron taught us Isha Halacha, so he was teaching us the Rav Sefer. And he would be very critical of the Rav. Like he would say, okay, the Rav says this, I'm not sure I agree. So at one point in Isha Halacha, where the Rav is saying, you should be a halachic man, and halacha is everything, and if it fits into halachic categories, it makes sense. And if it doesn't fit into halachic categories, it's meaningless. And the Rav says, he remembers in Brisk, that the Baal Tkia would hold the shofar and start crying and crying and kiss the shofar and then blow. And the Rav says, he's crazy. Shofar has no kiddush. Just blow it already. Like Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. I said, just blow the shofar already. Stop all this crying. The Rav quoting Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron said, I think the Rav went a little too far. It's all right to cry when you blow the shofar. Like, don't be so brisker. You know, you'll have to, you know. So the Rav Aaron was critiquing the Rav who was supporting Rav Moshe about the shofar. So but Api Halacha, one second, the shofar has no kiddush. But B'Shas HaMitzvah or Rosh Hashanah, you shouldn't be involved with the shofar. B'Shas HaMitzvah or in Sukkos, in theory, you can throw your lulav out after Sukkos, not during Sukkos. Okay, our minhag is that we still show kavod to the mitzvah even after the mitzvah's finished. So we'll keep it for Lag BaOmer, we'll throw it on top of the Aron. But pure halacha, if you're ish halacha, you want to say, I'm ish halacha, you can throw the lulav out on Matzah Shmini Atzeres. Okay, let's just get a little bit of traction. What question, yes?
The Ramah is halacha, and the Ramah says...
Yes.
Yeah, the Ramah said that you have to do something special. You cannot just throw it straight out. The Shulchan Aruch said you can throw it out straight
out. Okay, so... But he felt that was not halacha, just a minute. Okay. Anyway, so the Ramah... Guys, back here. So the Ramban says Bizur Mitzvah. What does the Baal Amor say? That's where we're heading. That's where I want to get corn pizza mix. Okay, click bait shmurla. Okay, Baal Amor. The Mandi Amor, Asa Lishtamesh Li'ara Shel Ner Chanukah. 4. Kol Tashmish B'mashma. This is like one of the most famous Baal Amors. You can't use the Ner Chanukah for anything. Afilu Tashmish Mitzvah, Tashmish Kedusha, Mishunda Kasabar. This is the Chiddush of the Baal Amor. Kivan Chain Zecher L'Neros. Since you're lighting your Chanukiah in Riverdale, Levi, you're lighting your menorah. For the Shemin Shalhechal, here's the biggest chiddush we're going to say today. Asiros Bana Kol Iker. You ready for the chiddush? The oil that you buy in Glotmart, on Amazon, in whatever, I don't know, BJ's, Costco, came from Spain. Some Spaniards crushed it with peasant toes. It has shame hektish. It's amazing. The oil that you're about to pour into your menorah gets a status of hekdesh, and it's aser, just like the oil in the menorah, because we are lighting our Chanukiah in West Orange and trying to capture the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. And since I'm trying to capture the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, just like the oil of the Beis HaMikdash is hekdesh, and what do we call the Isra Hanah from hekdesh? Me'ilah. Again, there's no Me'ilah today, so not formally hekdesh, the Isser Hanah, the machlokas between the Ramban and the Baal Amor. According to the Ramban, the Isser Hanah from their Shemen is because of Bizur Mitzvah. According to the Baal Amor, the Isser Hanah from their Shemen is because the Ner Shemen has a status of hektish. Read the Baal Amor again, okay? Kivan Shem Zecher L'Neiros L'Shemen Shel Heichel. Asura Sein Bana Kol Iker. Tremendous chiddush. And it's even more, one second, this process. Even more than the manik. The manik says we're lighting the two big chiddushim. And anyone tell me the chiddushim of the Baal Amor? A, not just does it have the status of Beis HaMikdash in shul, but even at home. So even your menorah at home is trying to capture the Beis HaMikdash. And number two, it doesn't just symbolize the Beis HaMikdash, but it is. It has the status of Isra Na. That's a tremendous chiddush. That is an incredible chiddush. And when you'll say this in Mirtz Hashem, depending on when you light, in about 4.5 hours. Okay? Because you will say Haneros Halalo Sha'anu Madlikim, which, by the way, a lot of important halachas in the shir today. By the way, it's not like Mo's Tzur. Mo's Tzur is a nice song that we sing. Haneros Halalo is part of the Iker HaMitzvah. The Rav claimed, because you want to be mefarsim the nes. How do I know what a candle symbolizes? It can symbolize anything. So in Purim, we have a text that we read that explains the background. On Hanukkah, we have no Tanakh text. So in order to explain what the candle is, we have to explain it. What explains what the candle is? In my family, because of this, and in some people's family, the meaning is everyone that lights says Haneros Halalo after they light, during the lighting. So I will light tonight, Asherah Kiddushanav, it's three brachos, and then I'll say Haneros Halalo while I'm lighting. And then my wife will light and say Haneros Halalo, which is really, really easy on the first night. On the eighth night, it gets really long. So, like when everyone's together for Shabbos, we're going to have Mirtz Hashem, a lot of people in my house for Shabbos, all my kids are coming back, 20 people lighting, 20 times an Eres Halala. It's not a song that you sing afterwards like a Chanukah carol. Okay? Ma'asur is a Chanukah song. We'll get together, Ma'asur, Yeshua, again. Eres Halala is not a, not this. It's part of the mitzvah, and you shouldn't be, the key is shouldn't be mafsik. That's why I say it together. You shouldn't be mafsik between the Havlaka and Eres Halala, in and after Sur Manisa. So what do we say about the Shemin and Haneros Halalo? Haneros Halalo Aserheim? Haneros Halalo? Kodeshim. Does that sound like the Ramban or the Balamor?
Balamor.
According to Ramban, it's just a mitzvah. Haneros Halalo Aserheim shouldn't be a mitzvah. According to Balamor, Haneros Halalo Kodeshim, the same Hekdesh, and therefore they're Aser Bahana. So what we saw in the Rabbeinu Reuven Hayarchi, all of a sudden comes to the surface in the Balamor. Questions?
Did he be
Matir Minyan there? Look at the Balamor. He's explaining why it's us in Minyan there. In a second. That's a long Balamor. Just give you an excerpt. Yes, Benny.
Let me say that based on the Gemara on Chafiz, suggesting that we should sing Bismiya. And there was a lot of Kodesh in?
Okay. Yes. Okay, let's go on. I got these lumped on in here. Okay, it's a song. Just sing it like the rest of the Jewish people. I'll sit there thinking about it. Okay, come. Let's go. Later, we'll move on. Quickly. Yes, of course. But it's a chiddush because otherwise, why should it be Aser? Okay. Which other two other Rishonim that indicate that Ner Chanukah may be capturing the mitzvah of Beis HaMikdash? Which other? Ravid. What does the Ravid say? Okay, so the Ravid is engaged in a very, very long machlokus as to when we say al and when we say le. Anyone learn psachim here in high school? Any psachim people? Davav, some brachas are al, some brachas are le. Who knows the famous machlokus between? No, between the two major shitas about why you say al, why you say le, between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban. Rabbeinu Tam felt the question was whether it's a personal mitzvah, a mitzvah through a shliach. Ramban said it, the opposite. What's the mitzvah? That's the Ramban sheet of Beinu Tam. Is it an immediate mitzvah or a long-lasting mitzvah? None of the sheetahs work perfectly, which leads to a lot of Rishonim trying to make it all the calculus work. Why we say La'adik Ner Shulchanik as opposed to Al-Mitzvah Sitzitz? Why say Leishit Basukah as opposed to Al-Mikra Megillah? Very fascinating conversation about the syntax of brachos, but now that you're all lamdanim, you all know that the syntax of a bracha is a portal into understanding the nature of the
mitzvah.
So this is gold. Psachim Davav is gold. What's the getter of the mitzvah's film? Look at the bracha. What's the getter of the mitzvah's masa? Look at the mitzvah. What's the getter? Like, for example, what are the two mitzvahs that to you look pretty similar, but we can try to break between them, create cleavage between them based on their differing nusach brachas, at least according to our minhag? Okay, Rosh and Yad. What else? How about Megillah versus Shofar? What's the bracha on Shofar? Shmokoshev. What's the bracha on Megillah? Al Mikra Megillah. So Megillah maybe did in Kriya, Shofar did in Shmiya, Lachlok is Ram. So all these brachos are not just syntax what bracha they make. They're all reflective of the nature of the mitzvah. So the Ramban has a chiddush. Ramban wants to say that any mitzvah that's derabanan, you'll make a bracha of Al. Liz deraisa, Al is derabanan. The Ravid isn't so kind. Oh, I don't have the Ravid here. I don't have the text of the Ravid on them.
No, the
Ravid was meant to be here. Right. Thanks. Brachos, what is it? Dalid?
Yeah.
One second. You get Aleph, Dalid. Okay. So the Ravid has this tremendous chiddush out of nowhere. He says, Yud Aleph, Tefa, right? Okay. He says, Inami. Why would you make a No, the Rambam doesn't say. The Ravid is suggesting. Im nomar kol mitzvah shimi divrem omra al shekein mishus. If you say that you only make an al because al is less powerful than le, and it sounds like it's not a mitzvah deraisa, what would you say about Ner Chanukah? Ner Chanukah is midrabanan, and you say le. So this theory, the Ravid floats out there that any mitzvah derabanan you're going to say al, he rejects because of Ner Chanukah. Then he says, you know what? That's not such a rejection. Even if the theory is true that mitzvah derabanan get an al, maybe Ner Chanukah gets a le. Why? We saw the Ravid because Hukva alaneros shebamikdash sheim sheltara lefikach asur kisheltara. The neros that you're lighting in Denver, it's Denver. No, it's based on mikdash neros. This is based on mikdash neros. It's not derabanan. It's based on a deraisa. And since it's based on a deraisa, you get the heavy bracha, the le bracha, not the al bracha. Derabanans get the al bracha. The Ravid saying, but heavy mitzvahs deraisas get the le bracha. So you see, again, as we've seen so often in Shir, Lamdos connects seemingly different details. The question of the Ra, of the Manig, the question of the Balamor, the question of the Ravid, which early French Rishon said this, probably a generation or two before the Manig, that the Hadlaka may be to commemorate not just a mitzvah, but to commemorate the Beis HaMikdash, which early French Rishon?
Rashi.
The core of the Gemara, which we're not going to get into. If you want to give a Lamda Shashir, you come back, I don't know, you know, let's say you have to go back this week. Parents want you back for your Hanukkah party. So for any sin, you land in Toronto. And Rabbi, which shul are you davening in? Shara Shemayim. So Rabbi, who's in the rabbi there?
Well, it was Rabbi Shrechler.
I know. Okay. Okay. The new guy, the interest. Oh, Freundson, you're back from the yeshiva. You're a lambda now. Give us your own Chanukah. So the core lambdas of the sugya of Chanukah is the question of hadlaka osa mitzvah or hanacha osa mitzvah. This is where Amoraim is speaking like briskers. Like, what's the definition of the mitzvah? Is it to light it or to place it? Is it the positioning or the lighting? Who knows the nafkaminos? Who knows the little bikias? What are you? You can bring this back to your share. Yeah, impressive. What are the three? What are the two or three nafkaminos? If the hadlaka osa mitzvah, hanacha osa mitzvah?
I feel like lighting it one place, then moving it to...
Right, lighting it inside, moving it outside. Or what if... Right, that's the abstract application. But what are the halacha lemaisa nafkaminas? The Gemara says if a cher shelter b'katan lights it, and then you move it. So let's say your little child lights it, and then you if a lago is a mitzvah and ayotz, if a nachas a mitzvah, you picked it up. The larger questions are what definition of the mitzvah is. Okay, so if I asked you guys seriously, open your minds. Which is the simple shita? Which is the shita that needs explanation? Hadlaka is simple and hanacha needs explanation? Or hanacha is simple and hadlaka needs explanation? It's a little bit what you said. Hadlaka is simple. Hadlaka, you like the Ner Chanukah. I mean, we're a little bit spoiled because we know the bracha. We know what we're doing. But Rashi, for some reason, Shabbos.chabbeis explains the mandiyamar hadlaka. It sounds like Leva. Oh, hanacha, I don't need a svara. But for hadlaka, I'll give you a svara. Why hadlaka? It's a little bit counterintuitive. I would have said, hadlaka makes more sense. Give me a reason that all you need is hanacha. Rashi says, hanacha makes more sense, but I'll give you a reason that you may need hadlaka according to that sad. What does Rashi say? One word, Rashi. I hadlaka osa mitzvah. First wide line, that's if they have the Gemara. Chaf aleph on the base. Chaf aleph on the base, excuse me. I hadlaka osa mitzvah. I ha mitzvah shel chanukah tlui b'hadlaka madlikin kede ashkechan b'menara. The menara didn't get lit by itself. They lit the menara every night. I mean, except for those 8 days, but otherwise, interestingly enough, don't get confused. There's a machlokas Rambam Ravid, who knows this machlokas where the hadlakas ner b'mikdash is. No, anyone interesting machlokas? Interesting machlokas. If your name isn't Noam Barinholtz, also interesting for you. But if your name isn't Noam Barinholtz, is hadlakas ner Chanukah and avodah the mikdash? Can I do it? No, you could definitely do it. Well, it depends upon whether you're a pedigree. But assuming you're a real coin, you could do it. Can I do it? Now, if I can do it, that would be an interesting way to do it. How could I do it? Machlokes Rambam Ravid, whether I'm Hadlakas Ner Chanukah Zavoda, Aksher Bazar, or it's Asura Bazar, I can't come to the Heichel. So can I get this really long candle and light from the Hazara? So that's Machlokes Rambam Ravid. And this is like really long, you know, one of these things you change the lights with. We're like a fire shooter. Shoot a fire and light the menorah. So it's. Look, you have a question. It's a joke. Okay, put your hand down. No, regular menorah in the base of Mikdash. Yeah, right. No, let's move on. I don't get sidebarred here. So can you light? But you definitely have to light every night. Is the question is who can light? Avodah or not, but you have to light every night. That's what Rashi's saying. Since the Beis HaMikdash, they lit every night. So the Gemara has a tzad to say hadlakos and nisa. So if we've lined up four Rishonim who believe that our hadlakos near Hanukkah, even in our home, three Rishonim, is trying to commemorate the Beis HaMikdash. And with, as the Rav would say, real halachic impact, not just conceptual discussions, real halachic impact. Rashi explaining why the Gemara has a tzad hadlaka osa mitzvah. The Ravid explaining why, even if the theory is true that mitzvahs d'rabbanan get a bracha ba'al, this mitzvah is going to get a leh. Number three, Balamor, the Neris are asur b'hanal lekekdish. And the Manhig said that that's why we light in the shul, because the shul is the closest we have to Beis HaMikdash, and we're trying to capture the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why we make a bracha. Based on this, are you still the Gabbai? You're not the Gabbai anymore, right? No. Based on this, two very interesting related halachas in Shulchan Aruch that not everyone knows. So if you ever be a Gabbai in shul, or you're in shul, be careful. Where do we place the menorah? What do you mean where you place the menorah? So very often in shul, the menorah will be in Mizrach, because it's very decorative, and it's right near the Aron HaKodesh, and it's up front, and it's on display. That is not halachic. According to the Shulchan Aruch, let's read the Shulchan Aruch together. The menorah should be placed, source number 6, Mebeis HaKnesses, Manicho Bekosel Darom. You put it to the south, which in your shuls would be, you know, basically, depending on how you're looking at it, it would be to the right. If you're like walking into shul, it would be to the right, because that would be south, east, west, south, north. So you put it to the right as you're walking into shul. Of course, in Gush, since we daven in Safam, because we're Darom, it would be across in the Aron, where you saw it today. Let's say this would be the Darom. You could have Darom two ways. You could have Darom in which it's vector Safam Darom. This would be Darom, but Safam Darom, as opposed to Darom being Mizrach Marav. So this is Darom, vector, assuming this is Darom, that would be Mizrach Marav, so be Mizrach Marav. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens. And why is it such? So the Mishnah Berurah says, based on Ephoratim, this should be obvious by now. Mishnah Berurah number 7, the Kosel Darim, why do you put it in Kosel Darim? Because that's where it was in the Beis HaMikdash. And why do you vector it in Mizrach Marav? Because that's where it was vectored in the Beis HaMikdash, right? That's where, that was Mizrach, that was Marav Mizrach, whatever. You know how the Beis HaMikdash was set up. But basically, the menorah was, if that was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so where's the menorah? Who knows? Where was the Maseches Yoma? If that was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, I'm walking in, the words of Menorah was there, Shulchan was there, so here's Darim. Okay? So it's vector Mizrach, Shulchan Menorah, it's vector Mizrach Marav, was where Noam was. If that was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's the Heichal, so it's in the coastal Darim, east, west, and south, north, and vector east, west. So the Shulchan Aruch's Pesach seems to reflect this entire Mahalach. So this is the first way of justifying or explaining why we light in Shul. And not just lighting in shul, you can light in shul, but we light with a bracha, and the person who lights goes home and lights again, because it captures an element of the mitzvah, a chelik of the mitzvah, that can best be realized in shul, which is a mikdash mat. What's the second reason the manik says you light in shul? Now everyone listen carefully, because you'll see the brilliance of the rav. What's the second reason?
Pirsuminis.
Now, let's first see the manik, then I'll explain to you what the rav said, because it's really important, really good stories, and really good halach l'maisa applications. Okay? The osim king b'mikdash me'at b'gola, that's the first part. L'farseim ha'nes, l'fi shekula miskabsim shem. You want to be mefarseim the nes, because there's a lot of people. By the way, this is the mahalach of the gom, from the gom, two, part b's. Raya mehalel, he converts it to halel, sheniskan alakos, even though you say halel during the seder, Omrim Beis HaKnesses Mishum Pirsuminisa. You say Halel, Pesach Night and Shul, Mishum Pirsuminisa. Okay. Baruch Hashem, I'm finding, in our day, when I was growing up, Halel Pesach Night was always like this big question. Should we say it? Should we not say it? Arguments, we argue about it, then we say it, and it's even later. Today, Baruch Hashem, I think most shuls say Halel. Like, I've never heard of shuls. Any shuls don't say. Like, for some reason, there was a vacuum in our Masara, and people just didn't know you have to say Halal Pesach night. It's a halacha. It's not a minhag. It's not, we do say Halal, we don't. They say Halal Pesach night. Then if you're ever a Gabbai in a shul, you say Halal. It's a before Shalach and Shulchan.
Most shuls the halacha fire themselves down.
You should. You really should. It's really... What? Ramadas. Okay. Okay. Shh. This is important. I mean, this is really important. Rabbi Soloveitchik claimed, really big chiddush, that the halacha of lighting in shul in order to capture a pursuit minisa is not quantitative. It is categorical. Listen carefully. It's not that, oh, by the way, there's more people in shul than there are at home. Sadly, today that may not be true. You're having a big Hanukkah party, you're having 70 people in your house, and there could be 10, 15 people in shul. It's not, let's bring the menorah in which, to the place that most people can see. That would be quantitative. Let's up the pursuit minisa, more eyes looking at the menorah. No. The Rav claimed that the pursuit minisa, or the added pursuit minisa in shul, is because you're being mefarsem b'nes in front of a tzibor that has a unique, I'll use an English word, viscosity, halachic viscosity. They're bound together in a minyan, and they've created a new entity called the tzibor. It's not pursuit minisa to more people. It's pursuit minisa to a tzibor of people. It's a categorically different pursuit minisa. And because of this, the Rav felt strongly about the following three halachic applications. Listen carefully, okay? Number one, but there's a story that goes behind this. I was very close to the big Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim when I was in yeshiva. Big Talmud Chacham. But he learned in the yeshivas in Europe. And he couldn't wrap his head around his drishas. Like, he just didn't get it. He didn't realize he'd come from a different world. I would come to his house for Shabbos, a big Talmud Chacham, and I'd come in. I'd be wearing a kippah that made Boaz's kippah look like, you know, a bottle cap. It was like the dome on top of the dome on top of the dome of the rock. It was like a pizza. Like, you couldn't miss it. But it was a kippah sruga. And like, I'd walk in, and he'd say, where's your kippah? And I said, like, you don't see it. I'm waiting. And it wasn't what he meant. Like, that's not a kippah. Kippah is a black cap. Like, where, it just didn't wrap his mind around that. Like you said, like, which Mishnayos did you learn this week? And his mind was a Bnei Akiva Yeshiva. We went out in the fields, moved some hay, and then maybe you learned a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos and went to sleep, you know, singing the hymns. I don't know. I just can't. And then, like, it all changed. Like, somehow, when you start to hear my learning and stuff, and it all changed. And, like, we became very friendly at the end of his life, and, like, we used to share a lot of Torah. And there are two things that I told him that changed his opinion. First, I told him the Rav Chaim on Chalipin. It's not written anywhere that the Ravs told Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron told me, he said, what? You have access to Rav Chaim. But then this night, we were walking home, Matzei Shabbos Chanukah. It was at his house, Matzei Shabbos Chanukah. He said, you know, there's a strange Taz I never made sense of. What's the Taz? So I told him the answer that the Rav gave to this Taz. You know, OMG. Like, he was a Lithuanian Tamachach. I wouldn't say OMG, but like, His mouth fell out like, oh, yeah, okay, now you're learning serious stuff. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, source number 9, that Matzei Shabbos in Shul, you light near Hanukkah and then Havdalah. Which is strange, because what would you say? You just have to tackle the case on your own. What comes first, Havdalah or near Hanukkah? Havdalah, for two reasons. A, so it should be mutter. Okay, you don't really need Havdalah to make a mutter, you said Atachon and Tanu, but what other reason should you precede Havdalah to Ner Chanukah? So all the reasons in the world suggest that Ner Chanukah should come after Havdalah, and yet he says Ner Chanukah before Havdalah, and the Ramah says, and certainly in your home, you should light Ner Chanukah because you already made Havdalah. So this leads to a huge debate in Achronim, and the Shita of the Taz, which we actually follow, but it's a strange Shita. The Taz, after quoting all the Shittah, says, "Vanirlani is daiti lahalacha lemaisa kasafti agam ki kvar nagu bebatei kneses ladik shulchan gatchila." Ikom lako amishi yasek bidvarim kalacha. If you understand the lacha well, roila lahavdil bebeisa bereisha. At home, do Abdullah first, which is counterintuitive. Do Abdullah first, and Jew, you already did Abdullah. Why? Now you did Abdullah. Come home and night yachan and Abdullah. And it's got it. The opposite. In shul, first Ner Chanukah, then Abdallah. At home, first Abdallah, then Ner Chanukah. Why? You can only imagine the very, very creative svaras given in svarim to try to answer this question. This is how the Rav explained it. Rav explained, lighting in shul is in front of a minyan. A tzibor that's called a minyan. Not just 10 people or 20 people, a minyan. Therefore, we want to do it when the people are still gathered as a minyan. If we wait for the end of shul, Matzei Shabbos, there could be 200 people in shul. But davening is over. And they've lost the status of? Tzibor. And therefore the Rav said that in Brisk, they would actually light near Hanukkah right after Shemone Esrei, before V'hinom. They wanted to get it in before Kaddish, before... Okay, so that minhag from Brisk never took, but the minhag that did take is light the Ner Chanukah before Havdalah. Do it as quickly as possible so that everyone's still gathered for a minyan, because what happens after Havdalah, Leinu, and Kaddish? You still have minyan things to do after Ner Chanukah, because if there's nothing left to do minyan things, then you shouldn't be lighting with a bracha. And that's why in Shul, where it's the din of lighting in front of a minyan, it's earlier than Havdalah. At home, where you're lighting for Yechidim, the natural order is Havdalah before Ner Chanukah because of Tadav Shein or Tadav Tadav Kodem. When I told this Gadol, I told this Talmud Chacham, this Vart in the Rav, like you could see his eyes. That's Emes. How else can you explain the Taz? Because it's counterintuitive. In Shul, we want to do it before the minyan disbands halachically. At home, we want to do it after Havdalah, which is the natural place. And that's why the Rav said, at home, we light after Havdalah, and Shul, we light before Havdalah. Number one. Number two. Imagine the scene. I was like putting myself back into the scene. Okay, it's going to be when Shabbos is week. Shabbos Chanukah is always very early, at least in America. If you live in South Africa, it's great. Just to show you guys, you shouldn't get caught in your own. Oh, everything begins and ends on Cedar Lane. There's a big world out there. In South Africa, they light Ner Chanukah in summer camps. Like all the shiurim are in summer camps. Like you're in your bungalow in Muscle Beach, which is a beach near Johannesburg. It probably has a lot of Omicron right now, Omicron, you know, COVID. But you don't want to be in Muscle Beach now. But in the normal years, like you go to Muscle Beach, or you go to the Great Reefs in Australia. Everyone's getting together for the Akiva camp, Indian Orchard. Who heard of Indian Orchard? We go to Muscle Beach. We go to the Great Reef, and they have all their camps, and they're lighting in their bungalows. Like it's summer there. Now, why am I saying this? Because they have an easy time. Because lighting in the summer is 8:30, right? It's when Shkia is 8:30. We always associate Ner Chanukah with, oh my goodness, it's 4 o'clock, I got to run home and light. Like, they're laughing at you guys. No, we light, we have all the time in the world. You know, we have until 8:30 to light. But at least in America, where I heard a few Jews still live, so in America and in Israel, where all Jews one day will live, so in these two places, North America, in these two places, Hadlakas Ner Chanukah is very early. Okay? Now, why is this important? The Rav actually talks about how hard it was sometimes to light Ner Chanukah Erev Shabbos. Because it was 4:10 in Boston and a winter Shabbos. There wasn't a million of people that made it on time. So you can imagine Rabbi Soloveitchik sitting there. It's like 4:20, 4:21, 4:22. It's Boston of 1950. No one's there. So what should you do? Not just Erev Shabbos, but Erev Shabbos is... Right? So during a non-Erev Shabbos, okay, you wait for the people to come. Erev Shabbos, you can't wait. You're deadline by Shkia. Okay, so you daven mincha. You're hoping. Okay, say a little lechadodi. Don't say Ms. Bashir. Please, let Mr. Greenberg make it on time. I hope he got out from the office. He's the 10th. He didn't come. And the Rav said, you shouldn't light with a bracha. Why, there are 9 people in shul. There's a lot of people in shul. Yeah, but there's no minyan. Until there's a minyan, you can't be justifying hadlakas there in the Beit HaKnesses. This is actually an interesting debate before the Rav Shari Tshuva, source number 9, part C. One second, let me just read it. Who wrote the Shari Tshuva? Interesting, very interesting person. Anyone know the Shari Tshuva? What? No, Rabbeinu Yonah wrote the original Shari Tshuva in the 13th century of Spain. But who wrote the Shari Tshuva that appears in Shulchan Aruch, which is in... What happened was... Okay, let me take it 2 steps back. We have a little bit of time. Not so much, but whatever. 2 steps back. When was Shulchan Aruch written? 1559 published. That was meant to be the final word on halacha. We don't need any other sefer. They can only be shown and giving us easy peasy run through halacha. Yeah, but 200 years later, 300 years later, all the shaylos came up, the Chassam Sofer, and the Rav Eger, and the Dago Mirafava, and the Nodav Yehuda. I'm like, okay, so we're back in the Vosh, everyone, right? Before Chayafa, that's why, by the way, that's why the Mishneh Berurah wrote a sefer. The Mishneh Berurah wrote a sefer basically to update the Shulchan Aruch and to make it easy to access. But you could say the first Mishneh Berurah was the Be'er Hativ, and right after the Be'er Hativ was a sefer written by anyone? Reb Chaim Mordechai Margolius. And he had collected tshuvos. It wasn't as straightforward as the Mishneh Berurah, but he collected tshuvos, And people read, I mean, today we have Bar Ilan, but until Bar Ilan came, this was people's primary access to Tshuva. So they would look in the Shara Tshuva and have the three lines of Bikiv Yeager that they couldn't find. They couldn't find. What's interesting is, he doesn't just collect Tshuvas, but he has two very interesting bents. Number one, he was a Mekubal, so he throws in a lot of Ariz and a lot of Kabbalah. Number two, which I find so cute, he had a famous brother whose name was Ephraim Zalman Margolis, who wrote the Sefer Mata Ephraim, which is a big Sefer of Minhagim for Yom Nerayim. He wrote Sefer Beis Ephraim. So he quotes a lot of his brother. Oh yeah, but my brother said. Oh, but my brother said. So he's always having quotes that, let's say, disproportionate to, let's say, other Sefer. You won't find the same degree of Beis Ephraim's quoted in any other Sefer. So if you want to learn Beis Ephraim's, look in the Shari Tshuva. Anyway, so, you know, it was so cute. Oh, my brother said, a little homie, right? You're quoting. Okay, so the Shari Tshuva quotes, Kivan Shum Yishun Pirasume Nisa, Tzarech Shei Eida B'Shas Maisi. You need there to be an Eida, and Eida is a minion. Yikol Malkom Ki Hashashah Dechuka. If, let's say, you don't have time, Erev Shabbos, Ein Levata Adlaka, Rak Yadlik Belo Bracha. So he says, like the Rav. Shari Tshuva says, like the Rav, you can't make a bracha unless there's 10 people in Shul. Make a bracha, light without a bracha. Menias Daiti, the Shulchan Aruch, Bir Halacha. Who wrote the Bir Halacha, of course? Mishneh Berurah, otherwise known as the... Okay, there's an old line about the Chafetz Chaim. It's a good story. A little bit extra time today. They say about the Chafetz Chaim that if you weren't such a tzaddik, you'd realize how big a Talmud Chacham he was. Because when you say the Chafetz Chaim, tzaddik. Here's the biggest Talmud Chacham in his generation. He was a tzaddik. His tzitkas overshadows his Talmud Chachamness. You read the Mishneh Berurah. Mishneh Berurah is like little tidbits, you know, this, that, that. You read the Bir Halacha, you see the full glory of his lamdas. Bir Halacha is his expository writings. They're amazing. You read the Bir Halacha. Why I like this story is because I think Rav Aaron was the inverse of the Chafetz Chaim. If Rav Aaron weren't such a Talmud Chacham, you'd realize how big a tzaddik he was. Like the people that really knew Rav Aaron, when you tell me about Rav Aaron, I think about all the tzidkus. Most people that didn't get to meet him, you read his svarim, his lecture, oh, he's big Talmud Chacham. No, he was the tzaddik ador. I mean, I saw tzidkus like I never saw in my life. And so I always think about the two, you know, meeting in Shem Hayim. Oh, you're the tzaddik that they thought didn't know was the Talmud Chacham. You're the Talmud Chacham. Okay, nice to meet you. My name is Aaron. My name is Israel. Nice to meet you. Anyway, so I learned all your Torah. Anyway, so he argues, says, Anias Daiti, Bishop Anisi del Chanukah, Enotolik Oyach, Mazda, and it will be Mekatzer. Okay, that's number two. One second, Ellie. Nafkamina number three. Okay? Ariel, Boaz, please leave the room. Now you can stay. But you're not going to like what I have to say. Okay. All right, you're not going to like what I have to say. If making a bracha and lighting in the Beis HaKnesses is because there is a tzibur of people that have gathered for a minyan, the Rav was very strongly inclined to say you can only light menorah and make a bracha when there's a large group of people that have a shame minyan. Not just for you, but for people, for two other groups of people. Not just for Chabad, they have Chabad background. Not just for Chabad people. You shouldn't be lighting, you can light on the public square, but not with the bracha, because unless you daven mincha afterwards. Number two, which I'm not sure enough people know, and I always cringe when I see it, a lot of people make bar mitzvahs and weddings over Hanukkah, and as part of the ceremony, they'll get up and they'll light a menorah, which is beautiful, and you know, it's in the catering hall, but they'll make a bracha. I was thinking, well, the Rav must be turning over in his grave. But you can't make a bracha levatal. There's no shame minion there. You're just gathering for a bar mitzvah, unless you daven afterwards. And when I really cringe, and I cringe for two reasons. One is because it's anti-halachic. Two, it's because it's incredibly racist, but I love it. What happens every year? Every year, the big game in Israel, okay, I'll let your imaginations fill in the blanks. What's the top basketball team in Israel? Who knows? Are Israeli basketball? Fake basketball, I call it. Who's the top team in the fake basketball league for NBA washouts? Maccabi Tel Aviv, right? So you can imagine that Hanukkah is the big holiday for Maccabi Tel Aviv. Come on, guys. You're all gush guys. Who do you think plays Maccabi over Hanukkah? Which country sends a team over Hanukkah? Right. Either Panathinaikos or Olympiakos. That's like the big game. Okay, here's the racist part. All the kids come with their swords and their shields and their paraphernalia and the announcers, and here come the Greeks. Boo! Kill them! Robin scream. And they're not even Greek, they're NBA washouts or college wannabes. They're not even Greek players. They're the guys that didn't get drafted. They have to go. Boo! 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 and here are your makabim, yay! Okay, it gets better. Since it's Hanukkah, and there are 20,000 screaming, crazy, frenzied kids in Yad Eliyahu, so they start the game by lighting a menorah at half court. It's like a trick question. How can you tell the one Israeli on the Israeli team, because they're all American washouts that they pay to pay in laser. How can you tell the one Israeli? He's the guy that lights Ner Chanukah once a year. He never plays a minute because he's terrible, but Israeli, they strut him out before the game. So he walks up there, and of course, you know, he walks out there with his big stick. Baruch atah Hashem. I say, oh my goodness, how many things are wrong with this? If you're a normal person, it's racist. If you're a brisker, it's against the rod. And if you're just a normal person watching, like, how many things are off about this scene? Anyway, so you shouldn't be lighting at midcourt at a Maccabi game. You shouldn't be lighting at a bar mitzvah wedding, according to the Rav, with all apologies. You shouldn't be lighting with a bracha in a public square. And what makes the Rav so cute, also you need a little background. In the 50s, the Jews wanted to try to be as American as possible. Sandy Koufax was the God of Lador, because, you know, he didn't pitch on Yom Kippur. Oh, my goodness, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, whatever, get past it. It's Rosh Chabbos, Nishta Zayke Ferlach. But we have arrived, they know who we are, and we're Jewish comedians, and Jackie Mason, like, we're going to be as much like the guy. Oh, my goodness, look at the Kiddush Hashem. There's a menorah in the bank, and right near the Christmas tree, and I'm sitting there, please, you know, tell them to share it with the other. Part of what made Americans is, remember, this is a little before your time, Yali, but a little before the time, there was something called the lodges, where the men were gentlemen lodges, where they'd go to smoke and to have drinks and to watch the games and gentlemen's lodges. So actually, it made a lot of sense. On Christmas, the lodges were empty. So the Jews formed their own lodge groups, and they took over the lodges around that period, on Hanukkah. And they actually named it like the Bear Lodge or the Pocahontas Lodge, or the, since they were upstate. So the Rav actually writes this. He rails against the people who lit menorah during the Hanukkah gathering of the Beaver Lodge. I promise you, this is in the Sefer. So you should know, the Rav was against lighting menorah in the Beaver Lodge. See, if you're ever in the Beaver Lodge for Hanukkah, don't light the menorah with the bracha. Okay. So don't think the Rav was anti-Chabad, who was also anti-Beaver Lodges, right? It was not a Chabad thing. Anyway, these are the three nafkaminos for the Rav's Chiddush. That is a din in the tzibur. One is Matzei Shabbos, the Seder Hadlaka and the Beis HaKnesses. Two is, and Shul, normally you can wait for a minyan, but out of interest, by the way, the Rav never talked about this, but according to what the Rav is saying, in outside minyanim during Corona, you shouldn't be lighting with the bracha. Again, it's probably not shaykh because it's going to blow out, especially in America where it's cold and windy, whatever. But if, let's say, you're in a climate-friendly area and you're davening in an outside minyan, since it doesn't have the shame base of Knesset, so, right, there's been a lot of questions. Should you say Magen Avos? Should you say bracha main shevom Shabbos? So that's an issue. Anyway, just to close up shop, the third approach, which is more historic and very sad, but on the other hand, very triumphant, is the approach of the Rivash. Rivash, source number 10, Beri Yitzchak Bar Sheshes, one of the Gedolei HaMeshivim, one of the Gedolei Tshuvos of Rishonim. HaMinag HaZeh, we'll just read the Tshuva, LaHadlik V'Beis HaKnesses, Minag Vasikinhu, Mishum Pirsumei Nisa. Why? Kivan She'in Anachno Yecholim L'Kayim HaMitzvah Kitikuna Kol Echad B'Beiso. Because during different periods of Jewish history, sadly, they were not allowed to light even on the doorstep. They had to light it inside, which basically completely emasculated any pursuit in Nisa. So therefore, Shiaru Umas Takvalenu Ein Anu Yecholim Lekayim Mitzvah Kitikuna Mad Lekol Echad BePesach Beisam MiBefneim Ein Kam Pursuim Nisa Lezehin Higu LaHadlik BeBeisach Knesses Lekayim Pursuim Nisa. So it's not the Rav's Pursuim Nisa of added Pursuim Nisa. It's Pursuim Nisa where we just can't accomplish it on our own. So two ha'aras before we disband for lunch. Number one, enjoy Hanukkah and Eretz Yisrael. It's just beautiful to walk around, and especially when you're off, look around your communities, just to see people have the freedom to light their menorah on the front and actually leave out their fancy menorahs, because at least in most Jewish communities, like, I can leave my silver menorah out, no one's going to take it. But even if not, just to have these boxes, these glass boxes. Anyone know the Hebrew name for these glass boxes? Really cool. What? Aquarium. So there's little aquariums, and you put them out there, and you light. It's just beautiful to be in Eretz Yisrael. You leaving tonight?
Morning.
I said walk around tonight just to see the menorahs and see.
We're going to try walking.
you see the hadlakos and the, it's just to feel the beauty of being back in Eretz Yisrael and to contrast it with the rivash and the difficult period in history. Second, and this is probably not the only takeaway, but a really important takeaway. What I hope you've seen is that lighting in shul is the ikra part of the mitzvah, whether it's pesum minisa according to the Rav, b'fei minyan, whether it's pesum minisa in the base of mikdash, Now, sadly, because Hanukkah in northern climates is so early, most people don't have the schlis to attend Hadlakas Neiros in shul. On the average Wednesday afternoon, how many people could be in shul at 4:15? Okay, if you have retirees, older people, they can come, but most people that are working are barely making it home in time to light by Tzeisik Rechavim, so you don't have it. It's really sad, but there's no choice. I understand people are stuck in work. However, there are at least 3 days during Hanukkah where you do have the schlis to participate in this mitzvah. You have to be really, really makbid for the rest of your life, store it away, that every year Hanukkah, okay, these 3 days I will do my utmost to be in shul, Hadlakas Ner Hanukkah, is not just something, ho-hum, let the God by light while I'm looking in a sefer. It's part of the mitzvah, and I'm going to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. What are those 3 days? Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday. A little bell should go off in your mind. If it's Chanukah, right? You wouldn't have Chanukah without Sifkaniyah. I got to go find the jelly donuts. Got to go find the lavkes. Got to go find the menorah. A little bell should go off inside your mind. Friday Chanukah, I'm going to be in shul on time and experience the lavkes near Chanukah. Mazel Shabbos, you're in shul anyway. Sunday's the big issue. You know, you're home watching the game, or you say, you know what, taking time out, going to shul, being there. Even I know there's a later minyan in there, and there's a later early mincha there, but I want to be part of lavkes near Chanukah. It's a beautiful minhag that has real deep halachic roots. So, and now is the time, the next 2-3 days, obviously tonight, tomorrow night, the next night, to be in the Beis Medrash, not to, I think we're trying very hard to schedule all the parties so that you can come back to the Beis Medrash in time. I think tonight there's a 520, when's our vacation? 520, so we lighten the Beis Medrash a little bit before Maariv, so we're going to light probably close to 7. All the parties are scheduled, so you can manage to be in the Beis HaKnesses for lighting, or Beis Medrash for lighting, and just try to be part of this mitzvah, part of the mitzvah. And you know, I think people don't understand that. They just think it's like, you know, Kiddush and Shul. Kiddush and Shul is just like a leftover minute. No one really listens to Kiddush. You don't really need Kiddush and Shul. Just Mary Sue, we don't make Kiddush and Shul. Yeah, listen to Kiddush and Shul. The kids have some grape juice. But this is really part of the mitzvah. Okay, guys. Tamar Chazara on Shnayim Ochsim. Mordechai, with bated breath. Yes.
Yeah. Please don't throw a pen at me. The Jewish... The shul is
the
Jewish man's bar, so what's
it
not
going to
mean in between the cavern lodge and the shul?
Okay. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what the bar is. Let's go get some fruit. Yes.